Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, welcome back. David Bellavia Show. We are your hosts, the Financial Guys, today through 1 o'clock. Mike Sbrazza, Glenn Wiggle, Jack Haxton joining us. Or joining you, I should say. We have a special guest joining us now. Carl Calabrese is joining us on the live line. Carl, can you hear us?
I sure can.
All right, fantastic. So you got myself, Mike Sbrazza, Glenn Wiggle, and Jack Haxton. I want to start with you, Carl, about I think what we all saw coming down in New York City, and then we'll get into the governor's race in 2026 a little bit later. But Mamdani wins, maybe not by as much as polling showed, but he won, I think, maybe 50.5 or 51-40 over Cuomo. Sliwa was pretty much a non-factor, but your thoughts about what happened down there in New York City?
Well, you're right. People saw it coming, but he still broke 50% in a three-way race, and that's impressive with anybody, let alone somebody who's a member of the Democratic Socialists of America. So then also beating one of the dynasty members of the Democrat Party, the royalty of the Democrat Party, the Cuomos. So you can't take anything away from it. It was a big, big win, a double-digit win. And I always thought he would come in around 7-point win. I thought the 15 and 20-point spreads that some polls were showing were a bit overstated. But a double-digit 10-point is impressive. So, okay, you know, I can't help but think of a famous quote that the former mayor of New York City, Ed Koch, made after he lost a campaign. And he said, "The people have spoken, and now they must be punished." I got a feeling that's what awaits the residents of New York City when this guy really gets cranked up and begins to implement a number of his policies, which I think are going to be job killers, economic killers, public safety killers. Just wait and see.
Let's talk about public safety, Carl. On the economic side, is he going to be able to actually even do any of the things he promised to do? I mean, is a single grocery store, city-run grocery store, ever going to open?
Oh, I think he could do that. I mean, there are a number of things he could do, and there's lots of things he can't do without, for example, approval from the state legislature. But remember, both the houses of the state legislature are run now by primarily progressive left Democrats. So he's certainly going to have a receptive ear there. He may not get everything he wants, but he will get some things. He can't freeze rents without, apparently there's a rent stabilization board in New York City that has the power to freeze rents. He'd have to get them to agree. But what I've said to people is, forget about everything else. If you want to kill a city, any city, the one way to do it is through public safety and the police. If he guts the police department and he starts, they're not prosecuting criminals, they're letting people go, they're not making arrests, that will kill a city economically. Businesses close down, they move out, people stop, tourists stop going, residents leave. So that he does have control over. He's got control over his police department and the budget of his police department. So that one act of gutting the police department and being soft on law and order and soft on crime could very well do serious, serious harm to New York City.
I totally agree. And we, Mike and I have talked about safety being such an important factor for so many things, especially economic progress. But to play devil's advocate for a second here, how much worse could it get? I mean, we're releasing criminals now. Right. We're not prosecuting people now. Right. We've gutted the police force already. I guess you can gut it more. You can have more people leave and make it even worse. But I mean, it seems like we're not holding anybody now. I'm watching them release like murder suspects and whatnot. I mean, how many more people could they possibly release? Or releasing them all?
Yeah, but, if crime goes up, 10%, 15%, if it's gone up that much with Alvin Bragg and the current administration, it can go up 20% under him. It go up 25% under him. And the violent crime could rise. So, you know, those things have a chilling effect on people's decisions on where they want to live and where they want to do business. So, yeah, it can get worse. You can see, you know, a spike in crime and a spike in more people getting let loose and not being prosecuted. So, you know, batten down the hatches with this guy if he does indeed do what he wants to do with the police department.
It's like the old Ronald Reagan joke, right, where the two Russians are walking down the street and one says to the other, is this it? Have we gotten there now? Have we reached full communism yet? And the other Russian looks at him and goes, well, no, it's going to get a lot worse from here. So one of my favorite Ronald Reagan jokes. But anyway.
Who knows?
Carl, let's jump into 2026 for a second because, you know, we talked – before we go into that potential race between Stefanik and Hochul – Glenn and I and Jack were talking about an hour ago about policies and what Republicans are doing and not doing across the country at this point. It's concerning to me. We're now less than a year away from midterms. And I get a little concerned. Obviously, the voter turnout, this was an off-year election. It was a little bit lower in some places. But what do Republicans need to do to win the midterms and to make sure we don't give up the House and or the Senate and have Trump be essentially a lame duck president for, you know, two more years after that?
Yeah, and probably another impeachment if they get control of the House.
Exactly, right, yeah.
Two things that have to happen. First of all, the midterm elections, I believe, will be decided on the economy. Okay, if the cost of living hasn't come down, if the economy is stagnant, if unemployment is going the wrong way, Republicans are going to take a beating. Okay, it's just that simple. On the other hand, if what was promised with the one big beautiful bill happens, you know, the tax cuts take effect in January, the deregulation continues. There were some huge incentives for job producing investment by businesses that could jumpstart the economy. So there's a whole lot of things that could happen to the good. We just have to wait and see. If they happen, I think the Republicans have a decent chance of defying history and keeping control of the House and Senate. The other thing that has to happen, though, is it's about turnout. And the one thing that bothers me the most is that the Trump base, the MAGA base, does not come out when he's not on the ballot. They stay home. And he's not going to be on the ballot in 2026, and he's not going to be on the ballot in 2028. And so the Republican Party better figure out how to motivate all of these MAGA people who only come out once every 4 years when he's on the ballot to get them out on a regular basis. Otherwise, they're going to lose elections. It's that simple. And, you know, I just said to a friend yesterday, if the MAGA base thinks the swamp is bad now, just wait. If the Democrats take over both houses and they'll do away with the filibuster, they'll add Puerto Rico as a state. That's two more Democrat senators. They'll add Washington, D.C. as a state. Two more Democrat senators. They'll pack the Supreme Court to 15 members, and they'll undo everything the Republican legislature did and Trump did. And so if they're frustrated with the swamp now, they better think long and hard about getting out to vote in 2026 and 2028.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Weaponize the government even further. I mean, that's the scary thing. Yeah. Too. We'll just weaponize. Go ahead, Glenn.
Oh, yeah. Many people will go to jail for sure that are innocent people, sadly. But that's exactly what we said an hour ago, Carl, that the Republican base, the Republicans don't excite the base, right? They just seem to be a constant letdown to me in so many ways.
They disappoint the base. Yes, they disappoint the base more often than not.
Yeah, it's frustrating. What concerns me, though, is when I look at the economy, right, it actually is pretty good. Right. We just beat GDP numbers. Right. Unemployment's great. Right. Inflation's in check. And yet the markets are down big today. Why? Because consumer sentiment is down. So there's a disconnect between reality and perception. Right. People are still saying, oh, my God, egg prices are so high. But they're half of what they were at the beginning of the year. They've come down 50%. Right.
Gas is coming down.
Yes.
Gas is coming down.
Right.
Won't be long.
But people aren't
below $3 a gallon.
But people aren't seeing that, though. They're not hearing that. I mean, I guess they're seeing that, but they're not believing it, right? They're still, look, when you see consumer sentiment being down, that's consumers saying, I'm not comfortable with the economy. I'm concerned.
Right.
Why?
And you can't dismiss that. You cannot dismiss that. Yeah,
no,
just the other day, Walmart announced that the price of this year's Thanksgiving dinner, the first one under this president's second term, is 25% less than it was under Biden's last Thanksgiving.
It's huge.
And I think it's because there are some key staples that people have to buy every week that have gone up double digit and have not come down. Right. And I think that's what's hitting them. I think if those things, meat and not just the food items, but insurance and rents, gasoline, if those things start coming down, I think you'll see that sentiment improve. But right now, they're seeing that, they're feeling that at the grocery store. And, you know, as it's said many times, and it's a firm rule of politics, perception is reality. And as long as they perceive the economy going the wrong way, prices going the wrong way, that's the reality, and they're going to vote accordingly. So, you know, the affordability is going to be an issue. It's not just a Mondani issue. It's both party issue. He prefers to address affordability by, you know, freezing rents, free child care, free bus rides, government-run grocery stores. That's the far-left socialist solution to affordability. Republicans can take up the issue with a totally different approach, a free market approach, and win elections, but they got to be willing to engage.
Well, they got to be willing to talk about it, right? I'm not hearing any free market solutions being really talked about amongst the Democrat or Republican Party, right? They just seem to want to put forth their big government solution. Let's switch gears to the state just for a second.
The other problem is Jerome Powell. I mean, this guy is, in my opinion, this guy is doing everything he can to slow an economic recovery under Donald Trump. I mean, remember, he cut interest rates just before the election for, you know, when inflation under Biden was almost 9%. He cut interest rates then. He wasn't concerned about cutting interest rates and inflation then, but now he's walking like a turtle to get these things done. That is going to be huge, especially when it comes to buying homes and mortgage rates. So I hope Trump continues the pressure. Trump should announce sooner rather than later who his replacement for Powell is going to be come May, because Powell is done in May. It'd be good, I think, to send a message to the markets now who the next Fed chief is going to be.
I totally agree with that. Absolutely. That would be the smartest move that he can do, and I hope that comes soon. Powell has been an absolute disappointment. I used to say Gala Greenspan was the worst Fed chief in my lifetime, but I don't know anymore. Powell seems like he's taking the lead here.
Trump gave him a great nickname, Too Late. Jerome Too Late Powell. I mean, it's perfect.
He's great at that. That's awesome.
He is.
He always knows how to name somebody. He's been doing it since the very beginning. I got to give it to him. Real quick, Carl, let's talk 2026 here in New York State for a minute. Obviously, you heard the news this morning that Lee Stefanik is running for governor. I've been saying against, we think, Kathy Hochul, but we'll see if there's a primary there. Let me start there with you, Carl. Do you see a primary for Hochul? Do you see Hochul winning that primary, losing that primary, if there is one?
Yeah, I do see a primary because her lieutenant governor has already announced that he's going to challenge her. Now, he could back out of that, and certainly possible. But the other thing could happen too. You know, once he gets in, he kind of gives a permission to other Democrats to get in. And so you might have multiple candidates. We have to wait and see if that develops. But whether it's one opponent or more than one opponent, she's going to be tough to beat in a primary within the Democrat Party, given the power of incumbency that any Democrat governor or any governor, for that matter, Republican or Democrat, has with the budget, the ability to reward friends, punish opponents. She's going to be tough. But, you don't know. It's all about turnout, especially in the primary. But she will have the support of the Democrat organization, and we'll see where that develops. But I'm anticipating a Hochul, Elise Stefanik race.
And is there any chance of a primary against Stefanik there, or do you think that's a done deal at this point?
Yeah, I don't think so at this point. Yeah. I know there have been some other names, primarily some Republican county executives of large counties that have been mentioned and would be good candidates. But I got to believe the Republican Party and the leadership is going to solidify and coalesce behind Stefanik very quickly. This party cannot afford to be divided when we're down 3.2 million votes in this state. So the more unity, the earlier kickoff of a campaign, the better. But a divided party pretty much guarantees defeat in big margins. So I would think that the party is going to solidify around her very quickly, and anybody thinking of running is going to see that the landscape is just not right for a challenge, and I think she'll have a path to the nomination that's going to be pretty clear.
Is this the right move for her? I mean, we have a safe seat right now with her seat in Congress, right? Are we going to be able to retain that seat if she vacates
yeah.
it?
Yeah,
that's the razor-thin majority we have?
Yeah, that's a good, solid red seat. In fact, okay. if you recall, one of the reasons she withdrew from being the ambassador to the UN is for Trump is because that would have created a special election for that congressional district. And the party right. thought about it and said, wait a minute, special elections are strange creatures, very low turnouts. The minority party sure. in a district can steal an election in a special election by virtue of, wow. of just turnout. And so that's why she withdrew to say, okay, if there is going to be a vacancy, we're much more comfortable going into a general election where we get a much bigger turnout of Republicans. So I would rank that as a pretty safe district. I mean, nothing is impossible in politics. The Democrats could win that district too. But right now, I think we're in good shape in retaining that. But, you know, is it a good move for her? I don't know. I mean, I look at Lee Zeldin. He came within 5 or 6 points of beating Hochul because she totally misplayed the crime issue and downplayed it and said it didn't exist. And many people think if that campaign had gone another week or 10 days, he may have pulled it out. But she is an aggressive, intelligent lady. Okay. We all saw her performance in Congress when she grilled those yeah. Ivy League university presidents about anti-Semitic activities on their campuses, and they couldn't admit that it was going on and that it was wrong, and two of the three ended up resigning. And then she had Hochul in the lights, if you recall.
Yes.
And she was asking Kathy Hochul if she knew the names of certain people. And Hochul yep. had, you know, just a blank stare. And they were all crime victims in New York of people who had suffered horrendous crimes, violent crimes, including the woman who was set afire and burned to death on the subway. Kathy Hochul had no idea who these people were. And as I said earlier, I said to somebody, Kathy Hochul in that hearing looked like a deer in the headlights who didn't know it was going to get run over or should run away. And then let me say this. I actually saw Elise Stefanik for the first time and heard her for the first time at an event that Nick Langworthy had last June, and she was the guest speaker. And I'll tell you, I was impressed. I've heard lots of political speeches in my time, some good, some bad, some ugly. She got up and for 25 minutes without notes gave a spellbinding speech. She had the audience in the power of her hands. So she's going to be an aggressive candidate. She's going to be all that Kathy Hochul can handle, but you're still 3.2 million votes down in enrollment.
And right. Carl, I was going to say, we got about 30 seconds left. Obviously, I think she probably would have the backing of Trump, which will be very helpful for her. But in 30 seconds.
Not necessarily, yeah. guys. Not in this state. Donald Trump is unpopular. I mean,
true. That's a good point.
With a few minor exceptions. Yeah. This is one of his most least favorable states. And frankly, the Democrats, you watch, the Democrat campaign is going to be to tie Donald Trump around Stefanik's neck.
You're not wrong there. That's a good point. I'll leave it with this for 30 seconds left or so. Does she win or lose, in your opinion? I know there's a long way to go. But what do you think?
Oh, at this point, if you had to handicap the race, she'd be the underdog, no question about it. But it's a long way to go. There's a campaign. I've never been impressed with Kathy Hochul's political skills. She would not be a governor in any other state. And if she didn't have 3.2 million more Democrats than Republicans in this state, habitual Democrats who vote for anybody who has a D after their name, she could be beat. But it's New York.
And yeah, you certainly need free and fair elections going on, too. That's always helpful when things are accurate and legitimate, too. So let's hope for that as well. All right, Carl, that'll do it. Thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
Guys, enjoyed it.
Good weekend.
All right, Glenn, we have one segment left. We'll play some game shows. You want to get a couple game show going on your end? I'll do a couple.
Yeah, sounds good.
We'll put Jack to the fire. See how Jack does today. We'll put him on the game show hot seat. That's right. All right, folks, if you just throughout the week, you think like us, we are the Financial Guys, 833-FIN-GUY. As a one-stop financial shop here at the Financial Guys. It is Medicare season as well. Crazy time in our office for the Medicare folks out there. Glenn, maybe you want to touch on that on the way back when we come back from the break here. It is over December 7th, so about a month from today, Medicare season has come to an end. So call us now, 833-FIN-GUYS. We are the Financial Guys in for David Bellavia. We'll be right back on WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.